I wanted to share with you something that God revealed to me, I guess it was about 6 years ago when I first saw it, and it just absolutely blessed me, because it helped me deal with something or see something in a different light that I had never seen before. Because I don't know about you, I can only speak for myself, but I think that everybody, and I'm speaking specifically because of who we are, to disability, but it really doesn't limit itself to disability. It can apply to anyone. But how many of us have felt at some point in our lives like we were excluded? We were excluded because either there's something wrong with us, or because we weren't good enough. Sometimes in churches even, you can, depending on the makeup of the church and how it believes, you can be made to feel like, well, you just, this is your fault. You're like this because you don't have enough faith. And it can make you feel like even God has rejected you, or you can't measure up. And I'm so thankful, I say this a lot, but I'm so thankful for my parents that they never treated me different or special. But even at that, I sometimes got that feeling. And it just doesn't seem fair. Especially if you're raised in an environment where it's not supposed to happen like that, or you're taught that it's not supposed to happen like that, you start asking questions like, why? And that's not a new question for any of us, whether we're dealing with disability or whatever tragedy happens to come into our lives. We ask that question, why? Or we say things like, if we're maybe trying to reconcile it and get to a place where we can not feel bad about it, we might say things like, well, show me, Lord. Show me how you're making this work out for your glory. Or show me how this is a good thing, and I'll be content. Well, he probably knows better than that anyway, but what are you doing? Or, you know, how are you going to get glory out of this? Sometimes we get angry. I feel like somehow we've been cheated, somehow we've been deprived. It wasn't supposed to be like this, and we get angry with God. And then, to rub salt in the wound, sometimes even God seems to be saying, you're not good enough. And I'm dealing now more specifically with the topic of disability. But I ran across this scripture. Well, I'm sure I read it several times before then. But it comes out of the book of Leviticus. And it has to do with the priesthood, with Aaron's lineage, who were the priests designated as the priests for the children of Israel. And in Leviticus 21:21, it says this. I'm reading it from the Lexham Bible, but it says, any man from Aaron the priest's offspring in whom is a physical defect shall not come near to present offerings made by fire to Yahweh. A physical defect is in him, he shall not come near to present his God's food. Now, I read that, and I thought, wow. I think I understood.
Why? John Johnson and Brenda Todd, Don Todd, and Carl Johnson have joined.
I thought I had everybody... Well, I guess I still do have everybody muted, but welcome, Brenda. Glad y'all could make it. But anyway, the background on that scripture is, only in the matter of sacrifices, and that's important. And hopefully I'll be able to explain why that's important. It only has to do with the sacrifices that the priests would make, And it was done that way. He said that because he was making it, he was teaching something. He was teaching something to Israel, and he was teaching something to us about his holiness and about the necessity for a perfect sacrifice in order for us to be in the presence of God. And the sacrifice had to be perfect, and the presenter of the sacrifice had to be perfect. And that's why that's there, because he needed us to understand his holiness. The holiness of God, by its very nature, destroys that which is not holy. He said, "No one can see my face and live," in Exodus 33:20, when Moses asked him. Not only that, certain places were considered holy. In the temple you had the holy place, and then you had only the priest could go, and then you had the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go to make atonement once a year. And then even the objects that were part of the worship were considered holy. They were carried on poles so that you didn't touch them. If you touched them, you would die. And we actually see this happen way on down the road. You might remember the story of King David, how King David received his kingdom, and he moved into Jerusalem, and then he was going to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which was the place where they had the Aaron's rod, it had the manna, it had the golden cherubim and the mercy seat on top of it. That was inside the Holy of Holies when the tent would be set up, when the tabernacle would be set up, where the priests would go in. So this is the thing that they're carrying, and they're bringing it into, it's supposed to be the place where God dwells, so they're bringing it in to Jerusalem, there where David is. And when the first time they tried it, they didn't do it right. They were supposed to, just like Numbers 4 said, they're supposed to carry it on their shoulders on these poles. But they didn't do that. They put it on an ox cart. And when the ox stumbled and upset the cart, one of the drivers of the cart, by the name of Uzzah, depending on who's reading it, probably didn't pronounce anything like that in the original. But in any case, he reaches out to steady the cart, and God strikes him dead. Seems rather harsh, upsets David a little bit. He sticks puts the ark off to the side and doesn't want to bring it in. Later on, he goes ahead and brings it in. He does it the right way. But again, the whole issue here is the holy versus the unholy. Of course, there were even times that were holy. We're supposed to keep the Sabbath holy. That was supposed to be a day of rest. And we ought never to forget that our God is still that same holy God. Now, he's offered us mercy, but he hasn't changed. And that's important to realize also, in that he was offering mercy back then. That whole sacrifice system, you read the book of Hebrews, we get reminded that, all those animals didn't do it. None of that was good enough. That was the whole point. That's why they had to keep doing it, because it was never going to be enough. But Jesus came, would come and do the make the final sacrifice. But God is still holy, and he still requires us to be holy, just like he told the children of Israel in Leviticus 19:2. He said to Moses, "Speak to the community of the Israelites and say to them, 'You must be holy because I, Yahweh your God, am holy.'" So the priests had to be perfect, and there were all of these rules too around the priest and how they had to do. They had special preparations. You can read in Exodus 28 and 29. They had to wash up a certain way. They had to wear certain clothing. And I know we've talked about before how they had to put the the bells on their robes and the rope, so that if they died, if they did something wrong when they went in there, and they died inside the Holy of Holies, they could be pulled out without anybody else dying. And he could go in there once a year, and he would put the blood on the mercy seat as an atonement. And he had to bring incense with him so that the smoke would cover up, and he couldn't actually see it. But God's done all of this. God did all of that to show us the difference between the holy and the unholy, and the impossibility of us getting to him without something being done, that we couldn't do it on our own. When Aaron's sons tried it back in Leviticus 10, we read about how they decided they would do it their way and bring their incense. Some verse translations call it strange fire. When they did that, they were consumed by the fire. But the sacrifice had to be perfect. The sacrifice itself had to be perfect. And you read about Leviticus chapter 1, how that had to be done. Now the priest, of course, is going to be represented by Jesus. Not only the priesthood is represented by Jesus, but the sacrifice. He would also be the perfect sacrifice. And only Jesus was perfect. Only Jesus could do this. Now, why is that important? Well, this is the fun part. That's a tough part. Now we get to the fun part. I was reading one day and came across Matthew 21:14. It's a very simple verse. All it says is, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Now, what had just happened? What's the context of that? Well, Jesus was in the outer courts of the temple at that point, what they call the court of the Gentiles. He'd just driven out all the money changers and the people that were there taking advantage of the people. He'd run all the crooks and the thieves out. And he said, in the process of doing that, this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Well, there's your first clue. But then it says the blind and the lame were coming into him. Now, why did Matthew mention that the blind and the lame were coming into him in the temple? I think that may be, and I'm not 100% sure about this, but I believe it's true, that they were not allowed. That the blind and the lame were not allowed, probably anybody with any kind of obvious disability was not allowed in the space of the temple. And I think that's why it's being brought up here. And it goes back again to the Old Testament, to a story in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And I didn't read it last time. I'm going to go ahead and read it this time. But it says, "Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, 'You shall not come in here. The blind and the lame will turn you away,' thinking, 'David cannot enter here.' Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, which is the city of David. David said on that day, 'Whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, through the water tunnel.' Therefore, they say, 'The blind and the lame shall not come into the house.'" Another one of those wow kind of verses. But it's all going to be made right by what Jesus does here. Jesus let him in. And it's particularly important, of course, because of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. He's as much God as Father is God. He said in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." Jesus represents that perfect high priest. And he came. He came out of heaven. In John 6:38, he says, I am the bread which came out of heaven. He came out of that holy and holies, when he was crucified, the veil was rent in two, because that separation was now gone. And he's with us in the form he's with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is he who makes perfect. You know, he healed them that day of their physical defects, I'm sure, because that's what it tells us. But later, he would heal all of us of our spiritual defects. The God of the universe made himself, talk about being disabled, he's got unlimited power. Anything that he says happens just because he said it. He came down here and became one of us. Talk about being disabled when you compare it to being all powerful. He might have been walking around just fine, but he's definitely operating at less than full strength, shall we say. But he did that for our benefit. So we have someone who understands not being able to do, because he's God, he limited himself, he put himself in human form and he operated as a human being. So he understands a little bit about not having everything that we once had. But he came out of that place, out of that Holy of Holies, out there into the court of the Gentiles, into the public place, and he said, come on in. Come on in and be healed. There's no longer going to be any separation between you and God. Everybody's welcome. You know, we're all defectives. Some of us have physical disabilities, but sin has infected us all, and the infection is fatal. And there's not a thing we can do to fix it. Scientists may heal our physical ailments given time. Many things have been conquered over the years. We may eventually find a cure or a vaccine or something to deal with this current virus. But only he can heal our spirits. There's no way we could get to him just like those people were locked out of the temple. But he made a way, and he brought us in. He came to us. So do we have a part? I know there's some people that say we don't have a part. Certainly, it does say that nobody can come unless the Holy Spirit draws him. But those people had to come to the temple. They still had to show up, even though they'd been denied every time or they had to wait outside and beg at the gates. But they had to come on in, and they had to ask. And I bet you they brought all their friends. And yes, he was willing. And he is willing. Think about our church. Our church, Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, is a visible expression of God's acceptance of everyone, regardless of race, regardless of disability, regardless of anything else. Come, and he is ready to heal. And we especially invite the blind and the lame. And it is to be a place of healing. Now, don't discount the idea. Don't discount the possibility of physical healing. Our God is still able to do that. We believe that. I believe that. And I would love to see it happen. I hope that we do see that in our future. I believe it's supposed to happen. But our primary mission is spiritual healing. Because that's what people really need. And we are here to reconcile broken people to a holy and perfect God who is absolutely with open arms waiting to receive us. And we all qualify. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us this mercy. Thank you for making it possible for us to be with you. Thank you for coming out of that holy place and becoming one of us, becoming with us, and providing that way through your perfect sacrifice, that we can be with you forever, that we no longer have to suffer forever, that there will be a time when the suffering will be over. We'll be able to rejoice with you, and we'll be able to participate in the next big adventure that you have in mind that we can't even conceive from here. I pray for our church, Lord, that during this time and as we go forward, that we take the lessons that we've learned, that we take the new appreciation for being together, being in community, and that we spread that we bring in more, that we become all that you meant for us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.